Hi, my name is Francis.
I suddenly wasn't ready. I wasn't in business mode.
Get your head in the game.
Can you start again, please?
Okay. Hi, my name is Francis.
And I'm Alice.
And welcome to this week's episode of Two Friends in a Pod, a place for friends to catch up on movies, music, TV, and all things pop culture.
So last week, wait.
She's got her head in holiday mode already.
I think all the talk about Velvet has made me just like lose sight of reality or something. Like I'm just like, gotta go on holiday and go to all the cafes. Thinking about how I'm gonna fit in 5 different cakes and 5 cups of coffee into my day. Doable. I know I can.
Doable. Dream big.
Dream big, yes. Some people want $1 million. Some people just want to be able to stomach all they can eat. Yeah. Okay. So last week we touched on the Tinder Swindler and I finally watched it.
Congratulations.
I know. I felt really compelled to do it just because I didn't want to fall behind on pop culture. I think everyone was talking about it. I'm like, why am I the only person that hasn't watched it? So I felt really uncool and I don't like feeling uncool. So
I think we went to like 2 different events where like one friend was like, oh, Ryan, just Ryan himself. Yeah. Was like, have you watched Tinder Swindler? The next day we were at another event and a couple of friends were like, yeah, did you guys watch the Tinder Swindler? And both times you had to be like, no, I haven't yet.
God.
Just embarrassing.
It's totally embarrassing. So I think the day after that, I watched the Tinder Swindler. Okay. Like, so on that, I think it was that Sunday morning, I was like, right, I've got a few hours.
Let's get down to business.
Yeah, exactly. So I watched the Tinder Swindler. So now I know everything about the hype.
You're with it. Yes. What are your thoughts?
I think it was pretty interesting learning about all the stories. I think because I heard a lot about it, and from what you were telling me, I think I knew kind of what to expect as well. But yeah, it's a pretty wild story. And honestly, not to kudos him because I don't want to like give him any credit or anything, because what he did was like pretty freaking bad. But like, that is some mastermind like scamming. Like seriously, like he put in so much like thought into everything, and that's how he got away with everything. And I'm like, I'm just kind of like mad that like he was so good, because now like he won't get caught basically. Like, yeah, like it's almost like a flawless plan almost, because he's also doing them in countries where like, you know, they're smaller countries. They don't have like maybe the backing that maybe someone in Australia would or something. So I feel like really bad for all those like women. Like there's like, I think they said he scams up to like $10 million or something in total. And like he's out there like living lavishly still, like in, you know, designer clothes and nice cars and stuff. And these women are just like in debt because he's a shitty person. Like it doesn't feel balanced. I don't like it. At the same time, it's interesting, right? It's you kind of have to appreciate it on some level. What a shitty person.
I was talking about it with people from work, and we're just like, the amount of planning he had to do, and just, you know, how he was sending the exact same, like, I love yous and all that sort of, all those sort of messages to the women. And he had to keep track. He had to keep track of at what relationship stage each woman was at. Like, okay, I've said I love you to this woman, so now it's ready to like take it to the next step. And now I have to ask her to find a place for us to live. And he, you know, had to like keep track of so many people and all the lies and everything, and like making fake pay slips and making fake bank transfer documents. I was like, that's so much effort. You surely had a spreadsheet to keep all your lines of response ready. Just like put that effort into something nice. Like, you're clearly a smart and organized person. Like, why are you being terrible?
Yeah. I mean, the problem with being a good person is that you'll never get to the level of richness, right? That's the problem. Like, you can put as much effort into something else and then you won't get the same rewards. So you kind of like, in a way, understand why he did it. But at the same time, like, yeah, if he could do something good with that, like, why wouldn't you? Also, like, just the, like, how little shame he has about everything he does as well. Like, he's just so yeah, so shameless. And it just makes you kind of like mad, but you're also just kind of like in awe a little bit.
I see what you mean.
Yeah. You're kind of like, wow, that's a lot. Like, and he said, all the planning. He had like he was talking to multiple women at the same time, you know, using one woman's funds to fund another woman. And then so it's like a cyclical thing. And the fact that he's not caught as well, like, or he got caught once and then you probably learned from that mistake and then is like not in jail at the moment, which I would say is like,
yeah, bad.
It doesn't seem right.
It's not justice.
It's like, it's clearly very, very wrong. And like, I think people can see that, but in like the eyes of the law, maybe not like, yeah, I don't know how to describe it because I'm not a lawyer. And I don't know all that jargon, but
she's only watched Legally Blind.
I object to this.
What did you think about that last woman who stole all his clothes and sold them online? I was dying at her, plus him sending her all those messages like, where is the money? I'm spending time in like a one-star hostel, like her bathroom, like whinging his little, crying his little baby man tears.
Yeah, I think she took an opportunity and like really ran with it. I think good on her, but I don't think that all the women that he scammed weren't able to like be in that situation and take advantage of him like that. So she was very lucky, and I'm glad she sort of took the opportunity to do the same to him. And it was like fun to see him like, cry a little bit, because you're kind of like, yeah, you deserve that. You like, whatever. So yes, it was fun to see that, like, at least he got something, but it's like, it's not enough. Like,
he
needs more punishment for what he's done.
I hope to God the women at least made some money from selling their story. And, you know, I hope that in some way helps them pay off their debts, because it's so sad that they're still paying off all this money and their lives and their careers were like ruined or like affected by this stupid guy.
Yeah. And I think even though we have only seen like two or three women in that whole doco, like there's so many other people who have been affected by him. So I hope that they got a little bit of they're getting a little bit as well. Love that. And I think the other interesting thing that I took away from this is that he manipulated people like emotionally. Like, he was so good at that, like, and not just through like romantic relationships. So like one of the women he actually manipulated through friendship.
Yeah.
And I think there were also cases where he was like a babysitter. He just knew like what positions to take in a person's life that they would put their trust in. So like your kids, like someone who's like your best friend, like a fiance, like a lover. Like, he was just so with it. And it's just like, you could do so much with that. Like,
just
so
like
much.
Use that energy somewhere else.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So an interesting watch for sure, because it's almost like, this is almost too wild to be true.
Yes. I also actually watched Inventing Anna, which is like the story of another scam artist.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk about that some other week, but it's definitely the same sort of vibe where just like, this person puts so much effort, put their whole scammer pussy, this pussy into this.
Yeah.
And like, for what? Like, why? Just, why can't you just be nice and not scam people?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. That one's by, like, that's a show by Shonda Rhimes, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also not a documentary. It's just more like a dramatized retelling of the story, yeah.
I think I have read that story, like, it was a while ago. I definitely remember that story coming out in the media when that was all revealed and stuff. So I'm like, okay, there's very, like, prevalent scams that are kind of coming through.
Scammers are everywhere.
Yeah.
You don't feel as bad with her story though, because she just scammed like other rich people and banks.
Yeah,
and just sort of like, I mean, like, yeah, I guess it's like, it's wrong, but you don't feel as bad for the victims, whereas like for this Tinder swindler, you're like, this is like just pure emotional manipulation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
maybe that's akin to kind of like the like hustlers kind of movement, where they were scamming people who were actual terrible people. You're kind of like, it's not great, but it's not the worst as well. Like, you know, realistically, these people will scam you legally as well. So
yeah, it's like karma.
Yeah, it's I know the law shouldn't work like that, but like, it doesn't feel as bad. Like, you definitely don't feel bad for them, and you're kind of like, I really get why you wanted to do that.
Yeah,
not that we condone it, but just we get it.
We get it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you finally watched it.
Finally.
Well done. I guess I have something I want to recommend you and the rest of our lovely listeners. And I particularly want to give a shout out to Mr. Wong, one of our favorite bands, because I think he would particularly love this show, which is The Righteous Gemstones. In Australia, you can watch it on Binge and probably Foxtel because it's a HBO show. But basically, it features a family of famous like televangelists. They own like mega churches all across America. And it's their sort of family dynamic. It's their dysfunctionalities in the form of like a black comedy. And it's sort of similar to Succession, where there's like a patriarch and it's basically showing how his kids are all fuck up. So they're all employed by the church. They like do sermons. One's like a youth pastor leader kind of thing. And they like preach the word of God and Christianity and Jesus. But then in their private lives, they're like mega rich. They fly on private jets. They're like doing coke and hooking up with prostitutes, like sex workers. So it's that sort of comedy and how that is like slowly seeping into their lives and at risk of getting exposed, I guess, and potentially leading to the downfall of their business. And it's like a church, but it's like really a business. They're making so much money and live in these huge mansions and stuff. But yeah, it's sort of like black comedy. I kind of like want to compare it to Arrested Development as well, because they're all so absurd. They have these southern accents and they call their dad like, daddy, are you going to pay for it? Like, daddy, it was a mistake.
Yeah, I have seen this like sort of pop up on my feed. The premise definitely sounds like interesting. And it also is reminding me of that Tammy Faye. So I listened to the podcast on You're Wrong about Tammy Faye Baker, and like, so her and her like former husband, I think, were famously television evangelical, like their family like hosts of the show, and then how like behind the scenes there was like all this like drama happening, like he cheated on her with another woman, I think, or like a prostitute, I think, as well, and there was like just all this like, you know, super drama coming out of their personal lives. And yeah, very much was a business. So it's kind of like reminding over that vibes where it's like, this is like very heightened. It's obviously like satire of that sort of genre, but you know, it's rooted in truth for sure.
Yeah.
So I would actually be interested in watching this.
It's very funny. Yeah. It's very easy to watch.
Yeah. Seems like it's very like ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's Adam Devine is in it. So, you know, the character he played in Pitch Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically him. That character brought to life again.
Look, I'm not mad about it.
You do. And yeah, Danny McBride is like one of the oldest sons. Mm. And who's the dad? Yeah, John Goodman is like the big man of the pyramid.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Okay. Yeah. That's a really good cast. Like, I'm already drawn to the casting.
Yeah, the casting.
Yeah,
really,
I can definitely see those people in those roles. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I definitely will. Now that I've finished just the Tinder swindler, I've definitely got room on my list.
One of the first scenes you see is them in China doing like mass baptisms, and they're just like dunking people in the water. Hundreds of people. And then they're in like a pool and someone turns on the wave function, because you know there's like those wave pools and everyone starts like bumping into each other and drowning. So you can instantly tell what type of show it is.
Okay. Love that already.
Yeah. And it's just like their obsession with like, they think they're godly and like preach these like, you know, being compassionate and humility and love and all that stuff. But they're so not that in their real life.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, of course.
And sort of like Hillsong-y vibes.
Yeah, like culty vibes. Okay. Not love that. Hillsong-y cult, but
it basically is.
Should we end it out?
Prime Minister goes there. I'm not afraid to say that.
Controversial.
Well, they do very pretty Christmas lights every year.
Yeah, I mean, you know that church on, what's the road? You know the one opposite Carlingford Court?
That's the Mormon church.
It's Mormon, isn't it? Yeah, like they do the best like nativity play scene like every year. It's so pretty.
They got budget.
And it's like on a main road as well. So every time you drive past it, you're like, oh, it's really nice. But yeah, I can't unhear the Book of Mormon though, like the musical. Like, I actually cannot take them seriously anymore because
they're just a joke to you, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm just like thinking of like, you know, the songs.
Yeah. That's, to be honest, after I watch that, whenever I think or like hear about baptisms, there's only anything about that song Baptize Me.
Oh my goodness. That's terrible.
Yeah. So if like a person was like, I'm getting baptized next week, I'd be like, oh, cool. But in my head, I'm thinking, like, baptize me.
Oh my God.
Sorry. We're just ungodly. We're just sinners. But no, Jesus forgives. You know, we're all sinners, but Jesus forgives.
But he doesn't forget.
No. Just like you. You're just like Jesus.
I think we're all trying to strive towards that.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I know you're all excited for this, so I'm going to say it. Sports Corner is back. Back, baby.
This is the second week in a row that we're talking about sport. So should we add sport?
Who are we?
Should we add sport to our tagline? Like, you know, we talk about movies, TV, music, pop culture, and sport. Like, are you like sport commentators?
Oh my God.
Okay, but seriously, Super Bowl, LVI. I don't know what that stands for. You're going to have to, do you know Roman numerals? I don't know. I don't know past 10. Like, what's L? Is that 50?
50.
Okay, so LV, let's, 56. I feel like we could just Google this, but I'm not going to. Okay, what happened last? This week, actually. Mm-hmm. So it was on the Sunday in America.
Here we talked about tuning into the Super Bowl not for the NFL but for the halftime show. Alice still knows that it was the LA Rams versus the Cincinnati Bengals, and we riff about it being a question on who wants to be a millionaire.
And that could be the million-dollar question in 2022 Super Bowl LVI. Who won? Which team won? And then you'll know.
Yeah, the LA Rams.
Yeah, and he'll be like, are you sure? Lock it in. And you'll be like, lock it in, Eddie. And you'll win $1 million.
LA Rams on their home turf in their home stadium.
Oh, she knows.
Duffy Stadium, where BTS performed their Permission to Dance stage.
Wow, only and winners.
Stadium. Hosted the Super Bowl. And yes, importantly for us, hosted the halftime show.
The only bit we care about.
Yeah, literally, I think I started streaming at 12 on the dot, which is kind of when it starts.
I had it streaming next to me like since like 9 a.m. or something, but I had it on mute because I didn't know what time the halftime show would start. Because then like I saw Channel 7 said it would start at 12:30 whatever, but it was a lie. It started way earlier than that. Mm-hmm. And then I missed it and I had to watch a recap because I was in a meeting.
Work things. So yeah, so the reason why we're excited was it's a performance with Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, 50 Cent, Eminem, Kendrick Lamar. Did I miss anybody?
Anderson Paak,
but he was, I guess, the drummer rather than like a main performer. So yeah, really exciting stuff. I think important because past iterations of Super Bowl halftime performances tend to be on like the more poppy, like mainstream side. We haven't had like a full rap performance before or hip hop performance. Not that like these singers or rappers are like, not mainstream, like, you know, like it's a freaking Eminem.
Like Eminem, like 50 Cent, yes.
Yeah, and like literally like Dr. Dre from NWA, who made hip hop and rap like mainstream in the first place. So I think momentous in that regard. And then I think I got quite excited because when the music started, I was like, oh my God, it's done. Like, it's just like hype music, right? Like,
yeah.
You get the you know what I'm talking. I can't sing it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's like the next episode and stuff like that. Yeah, it's just like iconic hits, especially for our generation, that it's very nostalgic in that way.
For anyone who enjoys like the genre of hip-hop, like it's iconic.
It's a classic.
It's an absolute classic. The stage, I was kind of interested how they would do that. I think they did a really good job. It was quite unique, I guess, in terms of like setup. So they had like, I guess, were they like caravan vans, I guess, like next to each other. And then they had not like backup dancers, more like backup crew, right? They had people kind of like dancing, not necessarily choreographed, but making it seem more like a party, like a, you know, a block party, like neighborhood kind of feels. So it was really good. I think the scene that shook me the most was the 50 Cent one. When like
that surprise reveal.
I totally forgot as well that he was actually in the performance. And then suddenly his face pops up and it's like upside down, like that iconic
image. He's hanging. Yeah.
And like in the club and he starts rapping it. I was like, oh my God, like this is so cool. Like this is
still
like,
got it.
This is literally like our childhood, right? Like being like in the club, like it's your birthday. Like it was just like a lot of fun, I think. And then Kendrick Lamar, who hasn't performed publicly in a while, I would say.
Where has he been?
And then there was like that aerial shot of like the dancers in the boxes, and I was like, where am I? Because I didn't realize it was an aerial shot.
I'm on this journey and where am I?
How do they get a shot of LA? And I realized it was just like the ground was like covered in the neighborhood print and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, this is really cool. And I was wondering what song that he would sing, because I was thinking, is he going to do something like more mainstream and more like, I don't know, like poppy, I guess, in a way, and do like Humble. But then he did All Right. I was like, oh, interesting. I thought he was going to do it, but I wasn't sure if he was going to do it, because I think that's a pretty controversial song in terms of content. And he has done it before. Remember, he did it at like the Grammys or the Oscars. I think it must have been the Grammys where he did it. And then like all these like people came out in like chains and jail cell stuff, and everyone's just like, do-do-do.
Yeah.
But a good performance overall. Like, I really enjoyed it. What did you think?
Yeah, definitely really enjoyed it. Like, all the songs are so recognizable to us. Like I said, they sort of like the soundtrack of our childhood. And it was really cool just the way they, I guess the centerpiece of the show was Compton. So they had overlaid Compton on the ground as the map. And then they brought in like as part of the stage design involved like Compton restaurants, like the houses, and just like bringing it to life in stadium. So that was like creative. And I think the way they moved through the different like houses and created like different rooms where it's like a party here, it's like a club in here for like 50 Cent, that was really awesome. It felt really short. Like, I just wanted it to keep going. And then I realized, like, I was like, why is it so short? And I looked at the other halftime shows. I was like, oh, they're all around this time length. Yeah. So I don't know why it felt so short. I was like, why is it already over? Like, I'm not ready. Like, it felt like we're just getting started, getting into the zone, and they were just going to keep pumping out tunes. And I was like, it's over, like, go back to the sports.
Yeah.
It's such a shame.
Oh my God, I felt that too. I was like, oh, damn.
Is that it?
Everyone was just getting into like the beats and stuff. And I think we have like a few performers as well. And each performer in their own right has like many like songs in their own name. So they could do and hold a whole concert by themselves. So I think part of it is just like, oh yeah, let's do another song.
Keep going, don't stop.
Like, I don't want to watch the football. Like, I'm just here to watch you.
Yeah, and everyone on like brought their A game. Everyone was like so good into the performance, like, and just the way they like did the mashups as well, because Kendrick did All Right, but then he started the song by doing like Mad City, like that intro, and just the way they mixed it all together was great. And Eminem was good. But yeah, it's also interesting in the way that, like you said, it's like the first time it's been such pure hip-hop in the NFL, and you definitely kind of see this as a way of them trying to rehabilitate their image, because they've been in so many, like, multiple scandals across the years of them being racist. It's not just like Colin Kaepernick taking the knee, but like on top of that, heaps and heaps and heaps of like that whole organization being super racist. So it's definitely them trying to like rehab their image, be like, we're cool with it. Like,
we're
bringing you hip hop. We love black people.
Yeah.
And then controversially as well, Eminem taking the knee and then some lines being censored from the song. So Kendrick wasn't able to say the word popo.
Well, as you would expect, the swear words were taken out and censored. That's fair. Mm-hmm. But yes, like the line from All Right. And we hate the popo. Want to kill us?
Yeah, we hate the popo. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He wasn't able to say hate the popo, but Dr. Dre was able to say, still don't like the police. So there's like rumblings going on and whether he was not supposed to say that, but he just said it anyway. Who knows?
Yeah. So Eminem taking the knee, bending the knee. I have heard as well that it was like a tribute to Tupac, so potentially not a political statement, but more on one out of respect. But yes, I guess like that movement itself, whether it was for Tupac or for Colin Kaepernick, like either way, I think it's very much symbolic in the realm of like NFL, because that whole thing happened, pretty controversial. I think there's also been like past coaches as well who have been under fire for being blatantly racist, especially in a sport. And in America, where actually there's a lot of like black athletes. I don't know what the percentage is. It's probably not as much as like the NBA or something, but it's a good chunk, right? Like,
well, yes, I think in particularly, you know, one of the biggest sports like NFL, NBA, it's like black athletes and black bodies who are generating these revenue streams for, if we're being honest, mostly white owners, white coaches, like white CEOs, which is like undeniable, right? Like, it's that's the facts. So it's like, I think, yeah, whether Eminem did it or not, it's like he must have known that if he did it, it would generate that sort of like interpretation and that sort of like connection to that political movement or political gesture, like whether he meant it or not. Like, I don't think you could avoid it.
Mm, yeah, 100%. Mm. There's just so much association with it, especially in the NFL, which they perform. Yeah, if you don't want to look at too deeply, it's still good. He did generate a really loud cheer. I think he got the loudest cheer. And I wonder if that's also just a reflection of the crowd, if I'm like, got to be honest.
I was like, oh, why is Anderson .Paak only on the drums? I thought he was actually going to perform. I was like waiting for him to get up and like grab a mic.
Well, he started dancing. it wasn't his stage. Not this one.
Sit down, Anderson. Not this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mary J. Blige was amazing as well.
Of course. She like, I think there was at one point where she was just doing a solo and her dancers left. It was like, fair.
She doesn't need anything. Just her and her voice. Yeah.
Her presence. Just that was good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I genuinely really liked it. I think people were saying like it's one of the best, whatever. I don't know if it's one of the best. Like, I think there's just been so many iconic performances, but I would definitely personally put it like up there as like in terms of personal enjoyment, because I think there's artists like I genuinely love, songs like I love. So why wouldn't I like seeing him?
I think, is it like also because there's been a like series of lackluster ones? Maybe before. I mean, I'm talking about Maroon 5.
Oh God, I'm brushing that out of my mind. I mean, I think there's a gap in like the Super Bowl halftime shows that I didn't watch or like just didn't know about. I'm only like, I think I can only clearly recall maybe 5 performances or, you know, like less than 10 from me personally. And in terms of the ones I've actually seen, yes, like this is up there because like lackluster performances, yeah, Maroon 5, Justin Timberlake, that kind of
thing. Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like because I think just in general, just trying to like keep viewership up, yeah, like it's in their interest to keep things relevant and to do a good halftime show.
That's why people like us tune in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I probably would watch it if I knew it was someone I didn't care about out of like pure curiosity. But I mean, that's just me rather than someone who.
And do you have any like hopes for the next show? Like, who would you like to see?
Oh my God, you're putting me on the spot. Well, it depends where it's. Well, it depends because it always is dependent on where they're performing. So if, for example, the choice of Dr. Dre and crew in the LA home.
Very meaningful.
It's meaningful and it's purposeful, right? So it's like, well, they always like pick people who are going to be like, usually they would pick someone who's like representative of that place. But who would I like to see at the Super Bowl in general? Who's popular? I don't even know. Who could hold a show by themselves who's like currently in music at the moment?
I feel like potentially like Doja Cat.
Yeah, potentially. I feel like she would need.
With like someone?
Yeah, I don't think she could do it by herself, to be honest. I would love to see more like hip hop. Like
Doja Cat and Lil Nas X.
Oh my God, you know what? Lizzo.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Lizzo, Doja Cat.
Cardi B.
Basically, just get a bunch of cool people and like get them to do songs together. Like, let's do that. What about in pop music though?
I wonder, Olivia Rodrigo.
I feel like Ariana Grande would probably be like a choice.
That makes a lot of sense.
She has a lot of upbeat songs and she's a bit of a crowd pleaser. I don't think she would do it, to be honest, but like I feel like she would do a good job.
No, that's a good choice.
Yeah, and I think she could be quite conceptual with it, you know, like do some alien world or something, come out in like a little costume, like a armor costume. I don't know what to do, but
and she has a lot of songs to go back on.
Exactly, and she's really popular.
What about Taylor Swift?
I was thinking that too. I think there has to be like some sort of line between this is like unrelatable to like the typical football crowd, because let's be real, there is definitely like a stereotype,
right?
Yeah, I wonder if that's just gonna like it's misaligned in terms of marketing. I think she would do a good job too, like realistically. I just don't know if she, if that's the right niche.
Keen to see who they announce next.
Yeah.
Dua Lipa. I'm just like listing people.
Yeah.
Did you just go wild and get Adele? Where everyone just starts crying.
Yeah, everyone would just get really emotional because they're like, it's sport and sport's emotional.
What about Harry Styles?
Like, I would love that. Again, I don't know if he would. Maybe if he just like appeared for like a cameo or something, that'd be really fun.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think he really aligns with that NFL crowd.
Well, I guess we'll see. Let's wait and see.
We shall.
What if it's BTS?
I mean, you know how I feel about that. Like, I'll buy tickets to go to the Super Bowl.
We would be there 100%. Well, that's the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We'll be back next year talking about it.
When's the next sporting event, Frances?
What is it? Is it like the World Cup?
Like, you're asking the wrong person. Like, I passed it on to you.
Wait, let me Google World Cup. I do tune into the World Cup. It is the World Cup.
Oh, nice. Maybe you can tell me about the World Cup.
Okay.
Yeah, because you probably know more about football. Soccer.
Double check so I'm not misinforming our fans. So we have the 2022 FIFA World Cup, the one in Qatar. When will it start? November.
Okay. That's so a while away. Yeah. Is there nothing in the middle? I'm sure there is. I just don't know it.
Maybe like cricket or something, but I refuse to watch that.
Yeah, hell no. I think cricket's like a summer sport anyway.
Maybe like a tennis something.
We had the Australian Open. I mean, I know there's other cups.
French Open, US Open.
We'll see.
Have you watched more Winter Olympics?
I have not.
Okay. The only thing I've seen is that 15-year-old Russian skater.
Oh, wait, I watched that. I did. I watched that. There's been a bit of controversy about that, though.
Yeah, because she tested positive.
Yeah. To be honest, she was like pretty insane though. Like, she was just on a next level in terms of like that technical skill. Can't even imagine what she'd be like when she grows up a little bit more and gets more experience, but we shall see. We shall see whether that was natural or not. I feel bad for her though. She's only 15.
I know, she's such a baby.
Yeah, that definitely wasn't her choice. That's the other thing. Oh, no, like,
no. And there's so much about her coach and just like her methods and how she runs through young girls and forces them to train really hard and gets them to this peak, but then they crash really early. So then they have to retire by like 17 or 18.
Oh my God. Sad. Yeah, that's really sad. I feel bad because by all means, she's very, very talented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the sad side of sport.
But let's talk about happy things.
Like a tall girl and a short boy falling in love.
Yes, exactly. That makes me so happy.
I'm like, there's this movie called Tall Girl.
Oh my God, what's it about?
I wonder what it's about, yeah.
So as we promised last week, we will be discussing not only Tall Girl 1, but Tall Girl 2.
Yeah.
The much-needed sequel. The saga of a really tall girl going to high school.
Mm-hmm. I think it addresses a few issues that you may experience in your teenage life, which is like insecurity about your physical looks, I guess, bullying, friendship, love, all that sort of stuff. my hypothesis coming to this movie was that I was not going to like it.
Okay.
And then, I'll let you know.
Okay, we'll see. Okay, that's the hypothesis.
That was my hypothesis.
And just as a quick disclaimer, neither of us are tall girls.
No, can't relate.
So we can't relate to her struggles as a tall girl because we ourselves are not tall. We are coming at this from an outsider's perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
When this movie was announced, the first one ages ago, I remember getting absolutely hammered on Twitter because when the trailer came out, it was like, oh, my life is so hard. You think you have it hard? Try being a girl that's tall. And
sorry.
No. And I think, yeah, I mean, that was the sort of reaction on Twitter where everyone kind of dunked on it. It was like, oh no, like, I love this sort of sob story for a tall white girl, tall, skinny white girl, like, boohoo. It was that sort of reaction. But I think even beyond that, as a movie, the first one, it's not that great.
Okay, so some of it is addressed in the second movie, which we will get to.
Mm.
I think because it's so blatantly like, I'm sad because I'm tall. And it's like, okay, first of all, she is like 6'1" or 6'2", which is approximately 180. I had to Google this. You might.
I Googled that too.
Yeah, so it's like 180, 184, something like that. I think that the way that they kind of address her tallness is like she's some sort of beast, some sort of abnormally
like a monster.
Yeah, like they like literally like talk about her like she is like weirdly tall, and like, yeah, 180 is tall, but it's not like she's like more than like 2 meters. Like, exactly. She's not like the tallest girl in the world. And then like her parents are like calling the doctors because she's like, they're like, why is she so tall? And then like, I think the sad bit for me is just like everyone was making fun of her for being tall, which is something that even though she's not that tall, would be 100% something that kids would like pick on anyway. Yes. Yeah. So like kind of like get it from that perspective. But I'm like, the parents didn't have to do that. Like they didn't have to push the agenda that far, because of course she's going to like grow up with some sort of complex about her height, because you're the ones telling her that actually it is a problem. So like, you know, the kids in school, like, you know, kids are dumb when they're young, like they'll say anything that will hurt you, but the parents aren't. So like, what's their excuse basically? I know like it's shown that the mum's quite petite. It's actually Angela from The Office.
Yes.
But like the parents aren't that tall. So I think from their perspective is like, well, why is she so tall? But it's like, is this a problem? Like, is this an actual like flaw in someone's genetics that they're like tall?
Well, that's what I think. I think if they made her like 2 meters, 50 centimeters, or like 3 meters tall, where there have been people in history who are like really, really, really tall, and that may lead to like health issues or something, like even back problems or whatever, but she's not that tall where like you have to worry. But then the dad's like, should we give her like growth stunting hormones, like freaking out? I'm like, she's not that tall, like she's like the height of a female model. Just like send her to a modeling school.
That's the other thing I was thinking, like typically when we look for runway models and stuff, they want them to be a certain height, so like approximately that 180 height. So it's like people want to be this tall, like
yeah,
so it's kind of like, it's like kind of like a non-issue. I think if they hadn't focused so much on that, it would have been better, because I think the idea of feeling out of place, being bullied, that kind of thing, those are real issues, whether she's tall or short, right? If her tallness is the kind of the thing that's drawing that attention, then yeah, that's something to focus on, that she feels insecure about her height because people feel like she's abnormal, it's giving them like something to like hold against her. They're like, yeah, but it's like just not like, yeah, why is it coming from everyone else?
Yeah, like the parents. Literally everyone. Yes. And I think the appetite has sort of changed, where we're seeing more movies about like people of color and like different sort of like sexual identities. So I can see why people dunked on it when the trailer came out, because it is sort of like boohoo, you wear size 13 Nikes, like get a grip, your life isn't that hard. But then like when you do see the movie, she's getting bullied quite severely, like you said, not just from peers at school, but like her parents. So you can see why she feels so shit, like any person would feel that shit. And I can imagine like that sort of bullying could happen in schools, because like you said, kids are stupid.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, if they had taken it from that angle, where like something that is not abnormal has been taken out of context and then like is used against you, like that's a genuine like issue, then yes, being tall is bad in that case, right? But they didn't, so I was kind of like, oh, this is like the wrong way to kind of look at it, because it's kind of more nuanced. Because like, yeah, like if you're comparing it to like, you know, other rom-coms or teenage like movies where there's, you know, we're talking about people of color and like different like sexual identities and things like that, it might seem like silly, but it's like actually there's something rooted in here that's like kind of that a lot of like teens can kind of speak to, right?
Yeah,
so it's kind of like, oh, that's kind of a missed opportunity for me. I think the other thing they could have like discussed more was about the short guy.
Yeah, so basically the plot comes down to your really tall girl, Jody. She's super tall. She wears size 13 Nikes, and she has a best friend called Dunkelman, who is like, he's either short or just like normal guy height or whatever, but he's shorter than her, who's always had a crush on her, who's been like crushing her forever. And then one day at school, a Swedish exchange student comes, Stig, and he's like super tall because I don't know, I guess all Swedish people are super tall. And then Jodie sets her eyes on him and it's sort of like, oh, maybe I have a crush on him. He's like the first tall guy, the first like guy that's taller than me that I've seen. And she kind of like has romantic feelings towards him. And it's that story unfolding during the school year.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not much more to the plot than that.
I mean, there's other things like, you know, she really likes playing the piano and she feels like she can't do it because mm-hmm. it makes it feel even taller and more manly. I think, yeah, there's all this stuff about like what society is telling them mm-hmm. versus what like is fine to do. And I think that's fine and like good to say. I think they probably should have stuck to that route, right? So yeah, the whole thing with the exchange student, because I guess the feeling behind that is that, you know, as a society, we tell people that need to, like, the girl needs to be shorter and the guy needs mm-hmm. to be taller, right? Like, there's that kind of thing. And then the guy, so the actor is actually 1.71 centimeters, which is, like, average-ish.
Dunk?
Yeah, Dunkelman.
Okay, that's average. Yeah.
Average-ish, right? It's not short, but I won't call it short, right? And so they just make him seem so small in comparison. Like, I think one of the quirks that he has is that he carries around a milk crate everywhere just in case he gets to, I guess, kiss her. Oh, I'm just like saying because I want to like vomit because I'm like, like, it's just like, what? Like, it doesn't sit well with me, but I'm just like, yeah. So he carries around a milk crate everywhere to, I guess, put his stuff in, but also, I guess, just in case he gets to step up and, you know.
Mm.
Anyway.
I think a lot of these sort of teen rom-coms, like, it's very, very, very formulaic and very predictable. Like, you know Stig comes and, like, Jodie has a crush on him, but you know by the end that she'll go for the best friend who's always been there for her. It's that sort of story. So she ends up with Dunk. So a lot of it is riding on the fact that you should feel some sort of chemistry between herself and Dunk, like you should be rooting for that relationship. But let me tell you, I was not rooting for it at all, and I found him very annoying.
Okay, a few things on this. One, I think she had genuine chemistry with Stig when they found out that he actually likes rock musicals as well. And they had like a genuine like connection. Like she was physically attracted to him and I guess he was like quite attracted to her. The reason why that relationship was wrong is because he was dating a girl, like he had a quote unquote girlfriend named Kimmy, who was like the main bully, I guess, in what's the tall girl's name?
Jodie's
life, right? So obviously it's like it's pretty bad. Jodie, no, that's not what you should be doing, right?
Mm.
But other than that, I think she genuinely had like chemistry, at least with Stig. With Dunkler, I always felt like he was very pushy from the very beginning. He's kind of like, I like you so much. And then kind of like when she was going out with Stig, he was just like really like cold towards her for like not picking him. And it's like, no, you don't get to choose who someone likes just because you've done it for the longest. Like, that's not how it works, right?
Yeah, you get the sense that he's had a crush on her for a really long time because they've been best friends forever. So it kind of, I think he's had a crush on her for years, but also instead of just like crushing on her, he's been like asking her out for years and she's always been like, no, I don't like you that way, no, we're friends. And he's like ask her out again and again and again, and then carries around a stupid milk crate because he thinks that one day she's gonna be like, okay, I like you, just kiss me now.
Yeah,
so annoying.
I think Jodie, she is just kind of like, she's so sweet. She kind of takes on board like people who say bad things about her. I think she's just kind of like, oh, maybe it is that way, right? I think the real issue is Dunkler. I think he has such a like short man complex. And it's not because he's short, but because everyone's telling him that he's short, then obviously he's going to be like, no, I'm really great and tall. Like, it's like that. Yeah, it's like that whole dynamic where he's like, no, you owe me this because I've known you the longest. I'm like, no.
Like, I've always loved you from the side. I've always supported you. Whatever.
Yeah, like, whatever.
And then when Stig confesses that he likes Jodie, and Dunk at this point knows that Jodie likes Stig, he actively, like, sabotages the future of that relationship by telling Stig, no, don't go for it. Like, no, you should be with Kimmy instead, even though Stig's like, oh, maybe my heart is actually with Jodie. Like, you know, actively, like, manipulates that situation because he feels jealous and like he's just feeling petty because he liked Jodie and Jodie should be with him, and it's just sort of gross.
Yeah, I really didn't like Dunkler, if I'm honest. I just thought he was a terrible friend and Jodie was like too nice for him, basically. I think
too nice and too tall for him.
Yeah, like, it wasn't an issue until you made it an issue. God.
Yeah.
I was just like a little bit frustrated. I just kind of like the way things kind of turned out, because I'm like, this could have been something, guys. This could have been something. Also, because I was also thinking there's actually a few like mangas and things like about this sort of topic. Like, this isn't like completely original. There's one called The Lovely Complex. I haven't actually read it myself, but from what I understand, it's like it's a bit sweeter and more about the friendship between the two, and then like kind of like, yeah, the pull and push of that. Whereas this is just so blatantly like, I don't know. They just make Jody so nice and everyone's so mean, and it's kind of like, this doesn't feel like balanced.
And then at the end, Jody's like feeling really bad. She's lost all her confidence and she feels like she's at a point where she can't even go to the prom. Like, she doesn't want to show her face. And the reason she goes is because Dunk buys her like heels and he's like, just be tall, like, be yourself, embrace yourself. And then she goes to the prom and she like makes a speech about accepting who you are. And then she's like, no, Dunk, I actually like you. And then they kiss. And I was like, no, not because he just gave you heels.
Yeah, I would have liked it to kind of stopped right there, like after she gave that speech. I think that was kind of like that would have been a sweet moment to end on, because like that's kind of like what we were waiting for the whole time, for her to kind of realize that actually she is who she is and she should just like embrace it. And she was wearing, so I think there was like a scene where she was trying on dresses and stuff and none of them felt like her, and then she finally found this suit and she was like, this is the one. So I really love that she like embraced something that was just like uniquely her, and then wearing like the tallest heels. I think the other thing was like she was saying there were no heels that would fit her, and I'm like, Google it, girl.
Definitely, yes. I was like, I know there are,
like, come on. And then obviously Dunker did the Googling first, so he gets the credit. But like, yeah, anyway, whatever.
He's just not very likable.
I know. I guess it was nice that he bought her shoes.
Yeah, but I don't know. I like him. And I read the costume designer for the movie say the suit was sort of based on David Bowie. Like, that's where they got the inspiration from.
Yeah. Oh, another thing.
Oh, yeah.
The sister character, Sabrina Carpenter. I forget what her name was in the thing.
It started with a H. Harper.
I think she was my favorite character.
She's good. And I would say, as a little sneak preview for the next bit, she's even better in the second one.
Yes. I think they kind of realized that she was good. I think she's too good for this role, to be honest. Like, it's too small of a part, but she was so good. I think she really gave life to her character in the little, like, the few lines that she had, and actually creates, like, this good support system for Jody. I think it would have been nice to have seen more of that, because I think she was like the only level-headed person, to be quite honest. Very dramatic but very level-headed, but you know, her heart was in the right place.
And she's the older sister who loves pageants, so she's that, you know, typical, she's like normal in quotation marks height, I guess, for what society deems is normal for a woman. And she's like blonde and pretty and she does pageants, but there's no like negative relationship between her and Jody, which I think is nice, because usually you have like, you know, hating the sister who is beloved and like being jealous or angry or petty at each other, but they seem like genuinely loving and like supporting each other and like giving her advice. So that was like nice to see. And Sabrina Carpenter, like we said, she did a really good job, because I think she has quite good comedic timing. Like, she's a good actress.
Yeah, she's actually really good. So
yeah.
Okay. That was solid. So, sequel.
Yes, your hypothesis was that you wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
And you didn't?
Yeah, I was right.
Yeah, you're right, as usual. I think you just don't invest in that romantic relationship. And because you don't, like, the whole end of the movie is sort of like, ugh.
Yeah, I just felt, like, icky about the whole plotline as well. I think it just didn't sit right the way that it watched as well. Like I said, like, it could have been something great. It could have been something worthy of content, but like, it's just falls flat and many, like, yeah, there's something there. And I think it's just too nuanced to kind of do the way that they did it. Like, they did it so like cheesily and like,
But do I dare say the sequel is better?
I think, okay, I was literally about to say, like, the sequel is actually better. Like, it's still
way better. Yeah.
Not good. However, I think because of the way that they kind of took it away from like, oh, I'm tall and you're short.
I'm so tall.
And like going and using what should have been in the first one. So talking about your insecurities, I think a big plot point in Tall Girl 2 is like her anxiety and having to deal with that with a voice. They kind of put it as a voice inside of her head. Dealing with that is kind of what makes this movie better. I think.
Yes.
And also just kind of the addressing of the tall girl situation at the beginning of the second movie.
I was like, I see what you're doing.
I was like, I see. They took the criticism and they actually improved, which, I think that's admirable.
Yeah, I was a bit nervous going into it because I had not enjoyed the first one at all. But then I found myself having fun with this sequel. I was like, this is actually quite funny. Like, this bit's actually quite enjoyable and the actors are quite charming. And I think another thing on top of what you've already said about it bringing in anxiety and like depicting that in like a accessible way for like teens who are watching it was them broadening out the plot to more ensemble cast. So you had more plot for the best friend, Farida, and like Dig and introducing his sister and like all these different elements and like Harper as well. So getting to see different characters and not having it so narrowly focused on Jodie, I think made it more enjoyable overall.
Yeah. Yeah, weirdly, because it's a sequel that they're allowed to do that.
We had to endure Tall Girl 1 to get Tall Girl 2.
Yeah, but do you know who's still a toxic male in Tall Girl 2?
Uncleman? Uncleman?
I don't know.
Him?
I don't know him.
So what's the plot for Tall Girl 2 in a nutshell?
So Jodie auditions for a musical. So she finally feels confident enough to go for a role in a musical that she really, really wants to do. And she gets the lead role. I think it's Bye Bye Birdie. Is that So she gets the lead role. And then she's also like starting her journey on her journey with Dunkelman.
They've been dating for 3 months.
Yeah, they've been dating for a bit. They kind of start the movie with like a recap on like Tall Girl 1. And it's just funny, like, because I'd watched Tall Girl 1, like, just before I watched Tall Girl 2. I'm like, I don't need to, like, relive this.
I don't want to.
I don't want to relive this. I understand why they did it. And it's just about Jodie, like, dealing with her insecurities about her performance and musical talents. And also dealing with Dunkelman, who's kind of feeding these insecurities at the same time. I'm like, this guy got to go. Like, you know, he is not looking out for you. And then, we could see more of the friends and, like, how they get together, how they interact with each other. We learn more about Kimmy, who is her, like, bully. And then we also see Harper trying to move on in a career. So she doesn't want to be seen as, like, just, like, you know, a pageant girl. She wants to have, like, a career. I think it's in a broadcasting segment or, like, a TV show or something like that. Like, trying to, like, move on with their lives and, like, you know, get things together. I guess like they're more senior now or something. So kind of like the friendships and stuff that kind of going around that.
Yeah, and worth noting, the actress for Jodie actually featured on Dance Moms, so I think she must be like a dancer or a singer, so it's not shocking that they brought in elements where she has to do like song and dance numbers.
Yeah,
in fact, that's her full potential.
Yeah, it's her bread and butter.
Yeah, what did you like about Tall Girl 2?
I think some of the things that you've mentioned before, which is that we get to see more of the other characters, which are actually really cool. It was kind of funny to see Stig kind of stick around.
He was so funny.
But I was like, I thought he was an exchange student.
Why is he still here?
Yeah, he's got good comedic timing. He's a pretty fun guy. I think there's one, you know, he just tries really hard. I think he just like felt bad about the first, like what happened in the first movie, and he like actually, like his character progressed to like someone who's actually really nice. And then he has a connection with Farida, who is Jodie's best friend, and they kind of get together. What else? What do I like about this movie? I like how they...
Stig is sort of like, he kind of like transforms into more like comedic relief. He's sort of like this beautiful blonde himbo-y sort of vibe where he's the fish out of water. He doesn't really get American culture. He's a bit confused at times, but that's played for comedic relief. I found him really an enjoyable part of the movie.
I think it's like hard to pinpoint. I feel like the things I didn't like are more obvious.
Well, okay. I like Stig, like I said. So particularly there's this scene where there's like a dinner date and what's his name? Dunkler. They call him different things in the movie. Yeah. Dunkler is trying to cook dinner for Jodie, like as a romantic gesture. And then Stig sees how like hopeless he is in the kitchen and instantly like jumps in, does his best like Gordon Ramsay impression and sort of becomes the waiter for the dinner as well. Like full dresses in the garb and has like the napkin over his arm. And just like the effort that he puts in to help his friend pull off the perfect date is like so cute. You can tell he's like super dedicated to his friends and like is really intent on improving himself.
I think for me, this scene is like overshadowed by Dunkelman.
Oh yeah, and then he ruins everything. But Stig is the good part in this.
Buddy Dunkelman.
Okay, tell us about Dunkelman. You're ready to go at him.
So he's like putting on a false pretense, being like, you know, it's our anniversary. I want to do something special for you, but I know you're really busy. So like, feel free to like leave if you want to. And then she's like, okay, I'll leave. Because she's like, I'm genuinely like worried. Like she doesn't really explain it to Dunkelman that well, but you know, we had seen her, like she was actually getting very anxious about being a lead performer in the play, in the school play, of which she has never like performed before in front of like a big crowd. She's all in her head, and like she genuinely just wanted to like concentrate on that and like do the best that she can, because it was really important to her. And then he's just like, why would you leave? Like, you know, even though he told her that she could leave. And she's like, but you told me to. And then he's like, I didn't think you'd actually do it. I'm like, then don't offer. There are better ways of saying please stay than telling them to leave.
Yeah.
I was just so angry at him, because I'm like, he's actually the worst. Like, he's actually making you feel even worse than you do at the moment. And like, that is a feat in itself. Like, clearly this girl has been suffering for years of insecurity, anxiousness, because of people like you being like, you're not good enough. You're too tall. You can't do this. Suddenly she's like, feels confident in herself. She's able to embrace her hobbies and interests and put herself out there, and you're just pushing it down again. Like,
yeah. You can't see, listener, but Alice is gestating wildly and her frustration is coming out on video.
I just like don't have like the words to express. Like, I just felt so angry, because I'm like, Jodie again is like the sweetest girl. She's so understanding. She is like such a good friend to everyone, her best friend. She's like the biggest supporter. She's a great relationship with her family. And she's just freaking Dunkelman, who sits there and pretends that he loves her and then tells her like shit like this. I'm like, you can leave. Do you know what? This whole movie sequence, I've just been thinking of The Kissing Booth. And not quite to the same extent, but in the pathway that is kind of taken the male lead character, you know, like obviously in The Kissing Booth, the guy isn't someone with a Shortman complex, but because he's very tall, but it's kind of like that toxic male, like, why are you feeling bad? I should feel bad because you did something bad to me. Like that kind of ideology, and then projecting that and treating the girl badly. And then somehow we're supposed to think that that girl deserves to be with that guy because they've just kind of been together for a long time.
Mm-mm.
And like, you know how I feel about like best friends for a long time. But if the guy's toxic, then no. Like,
no.
None of that.
Don't even be his friend. Yeah.
And then on top of that, in the second movie, which we haven't mentioned before, but there is a male competitor who is far superior in terms of personality. And
I've heard this before.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of like the same thing, right? You know, in The Kissing Booth, we had, I forget his name, but that the better singer, better dancer, much nicer boy.
Yeah. One of the things I noted down was Netflix tends to have this like pattern of having a second lead in the sequel movie who like vies for the female protagonist's attention. He's usually nicer, kinder, more talented, but also tends to be like a person of color as well, like a second lead of color. So once again, Netflix brings out that card, and there's a guy in the musical who's playing the lead opposite Jodie, and he is so nice. They bond over musical theater. He's so supportive. He's a cutie boy.
Yeah.
And yet she still goes to Dunkelman.
Yeah, and he actually expresses interest in her. Like from the first meeting, he's like, oh, can I buy you a coffee? And we find out later that he actually knows who she is because he's seen her speech at the homecoming dance or whatever. So here he like truly like admires her like bravery. He respects her as an artist, and he's just generally nicer, like non-toxic, nice male, but doesn't get the girl. Doesn't make, make sense.
And he's also like shares his own vulnerabilities with Jodie, because he's like, as a child, I was considered really overweight and I was bullied and teased about that. So that's like a complex I have. And I really admired the way you know, said we should all be proud of who we are and not judge from the outside and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, there's like a values-based connection. There's like a, you know, physical connection. They do a little kissy and a little dancey, and then their interests align. Like, it's just, he's right there, Jodie.
Like, there's genuine chemistry. So my question is, why Dunkelman? Just because
there's nothing about Dunkelman that makes you want her to get with him.
You're kind of like feeding into his ego that he somehow deserves you because he's just been there first. He's done it the longest. Doesn't make you the, like, doesn't make him the best.
The only thing is, he's like always there, right? Like, he's always there with his milk crate. He's always there making her smoothies, but then he's also like the worst. So who cares? Like,
yeah, whatever. Like, I'm sure whatever. The mother will make you a smoothie too. Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just think that she deserves that.
Yes. We don't like Donkelman.
Not about this.
I mean, well, okay. That's one of the main things we don't like. But on top of Stig, I think I really liked Harper. Like we said.
Yes. Yeah.
She was great. She plays this sort of like, she's not stupid, but she's sort of like airy, dramatic, eccentric aunt sort of character. So she has, like, there's this great scene where she's playing chess by herself because she's saying it'll hone her interview skills and make her sharper and quicker. So she's doing that thing where she jumps from chair to chair and like plays against herself. And I think, like we said, Sabrina Carpenter has like great comedic timing because when she says, I didn't see that one coming. Like, you genuinely laugh because she's really selling it. She gives like great advice to Jodie. And whenever she enters the screen, like, it's just funny overall.
Yeah. I think you never know what to expect with a character. Yeah. Like, you kind of like, she'll say something and it's like, is that good? Is that bad? And I think like part of the anticipation is like fun. Like, it's funny to kind of have that, like that little dramatic flair. But I think she pulls it off like in a not overly like cliche or cheesy way. I think she actually owns that character so well. I would love to see more of like her in movies as well.
Her in LA at her new job.
Yeah, spin-off.
Yeah. At this point where she's like, Jodie's sort of unloading onto her and she's like, why haven't you told me these, like, I'm supposed to be your sister. And she's like, I was trying to like wean myself off of you because you're moving. She's like, no, wean on me. And then she just like smiles and like for a second you don't know how she's going to react. And then she like walks to the fridge and like does this huge scream. It's just like one of those moments where like, yeah, she's selling it. She can do this sort of comedy.
Yes, yeah, 100%. Like, she's got the physical and like delivery as well. That's true. Yes, I did really like that. Best friend. I mean, no. What did you think of the best friend? Like, so she aspires to be like a fashion designer. She managed to sell a few pieces to the boutique and then Stig buys them. What do you think of that? Because her first reaction was, I feel bad about myself. Then he turns it into, you just got to keep trying. What do you make of this scene? I didn't know how to feel about it. So I want to know how you felt about it.
I mean, I was like, yeah, that was probably a dumb thing to do. But it's sort of like maybe the only thing a teenager would know what to do.
Yeah.
So I can see why she felt bad. But I was just like, well, you know, at least he's encouraging her.
Yeah.
I think he acknowledged that that wasn't the right thing to do. That to encourage her wouldn't be to like pretend that her clothes sold out and, you know, lie to her in that way. But the best thing to do is just like support her and stand by her side and keep encouraging her. That was sort of my take.
Like, he's such a, you know, he has like genuine intent. Like,
he's so good-hearted.
Yeah, like you know that of him. So you're like, oh, definitely didn't do that from like coming from a bad place.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, that was also, yeah, like kind of dumb. Like,
And then they sing ABBA together, so they're like, oh
yeah, that was cute. That was actually cute. It's like something to remind you of home.
What did you think about that little montage where Donkelman and Stig's sister try to show off that they're fine on Instagram? Like the photography session. I feel like those sort of montages were stupid but at least enjoyable or like funny to watch. That's the sort of stuff that wasn't in the first movie.
Yeah, I felt like it probably wasn't necessary. To be honest, I don't think that whole character was necessary.
Yeah.
They introduced like another tall girl. To make like Jodie jealous, but it's like, you don't want her to be jealous. You just kind of want her to move on. But I think it just like kind of did provide like some comedic relief at least.
Yeah.
She was like an actual enjoyable character. Like,
she was funny.
She was pretty funny. So you kind of like let it slip because you're like, like whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
We'll let it appear.
And the other thing that was done well, I think, was Jodie, like we've said, throughout the whole movie has had really bad anxiety and they sort of show it in the form of a voiceover where it's her own voice telling her, you're ugly, like you could never do this, you're embarrassing, you're not talented. And you can see how that drains her of energy and how that overwhelms her and, you know, starts bleeding into every other part of her life. And then that culminates in her having a panic attack. And her parents are like so good at dealing with it. I was like, oh, that's so nice to see like a positive representation of parents who like recognize mental illness and like see and understand what a panic attack looks like and how to manage it. I was like, that's really cute. And it's a bit different from the parents we saw in the first movie who were like the worst. But I was like, well, let's just pretend they didn't exist. Where was this energy before? But at least it's here now.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why it's part of why this second movie is actually far superior to the first. It's like just adding to reasons. Because for some reason, well, not for some reason, I think, yeah, everyone just kind of learned their lesson from the first one. And they were like, in order to make a sequel, we need to make everyone like actually better. And I think that's something that like I can appreciate. Like, like the actual active push to get everyone like to be better and show growth in their character. I'm not against it at all, especially for something like this, which like it's actually pretty important to show things like this in a teenage film, you know, something that is positive and like reinforces things that we should be actively doing to support each other, rather than the first movie where they actively like made her feel bad. So
yeah, how did you feel about her getting with Donkman in the end?
I mean, you kind of like know that's going to happen, right? Yeah, there's like no avoiding it. But you know how I feel about Dunkelman.
Not good.
So, yeah, I think it kind of ruins it for me a little bit, because I'm thinking, oh, there's like so many good things. Like she got through the musical. She did really well. She overcame her fears. Like, she didn't overcome it. She dealt with it, I think, because that voice inside her head is like never going to go away, right? It's just going to like always be there. It's just more about how you can tackle them like day by day.
Yeah.
So I liked all that. And I think it's the same thing as the first movie where you're like, it would have been nice to just cut it there and be like, Jodie comes to recognition that she can be better. She is talented. She is good enough. And then we have like, why do we need Dunkelman to, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't add anything in my perspective, because I don't like him. like, it doesn't add anything extra. Like, it kind of detracts.
No value.
It detracts from like the good feelings that you get when Jodie like comes into her own.
You also see that Jodie got him a camera for his birthday one year. And that's like a really nice camera. That's like, it's like a $1,700-ish camera with that lens. And I'm like, she is so nice to you. She gives you this camera and that's how you treat her.
Yeah. And then didn't he also say that he doesn't actually like photography? He only said he liked it to appear cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, isn't he the worst? I just don't understand why they can make such an awful male character. Like, this is not...
But then at the end, he, like, takes pictures of, like, the musical, and they're, like, good photos. And she's like, oh, maybe you're good at it after all. And it's like, oh, I guess photography is his thing. And it's just annoying. And I don't think he would have been able to take those type of photos with that lens.
So you think he, like, used another lens?
No, I think that's just, like, a production error, to be honest.
Well,
but anyway, it just adds to my annoyance of him.
Yeah, okay. And it's just by accident as well. Like, he wouldn't be able to take those. Yeah, anyways, he didn't even like photos, whatever.
And he was going to throw it in the bin when he got all dramatic. Like, he's so overly emotional when he, in the middle, they like break up because of like him treating Jodie awfully at that dinner date. Like, I'm throwing out everything. I don't want anything of hers.
Yeah, because he got jealous as well. Of her relationship with the like other leading guy,
and he should have been jealous because he was superior.
He was actually a threat. Oh yeah, I want better representations of male characters in teenage films, I think. And I don't know if that's because we are a bit older now, like watching these, where like we don't romanticize these kind of people at all. And I think in addition, we deeply empathize with the female characters because we're kind of like been there, done that. Like, you know, you can understand the nuances of high school and how like everything is kind of happening all at once, in addition to puberty. Like, everything feels like all your emotions are heightened, etc. like those emotions I kind of like understand and empathize with. And then you just have like this awful male being like, it was me. It's like, so I would love to see like a wider variety of characters in teenage films, I think.
Yes, please.
It's doable, by the way. We have like examples of this in like probably a few teenage films. Probably the ones that we enjoy the most, where like, you know, it's just more balanced, right? Not asking for like perfect people, asking for like people that you like.
And I wonder, because like so many other characters in the sequel improved and learned their lesson, so why couldn't they have brought that same energy to Donkey?
Yeah, I think this kind of goes back to our question on why love interests in like teenage films always seem to be kind of like that. I don't know, what's the right word? Yeah, kind of like the kissing, again, it's a kissing booth kind of character. Mm-hmm. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why is that the attractive stereotype? Why?
I wonder, because I think this is something we discussed in our unpublished, in the archives Twilight episode. Oh. The reason it's unpublished is because we didn't have proper mics back then. But one of the things we discussed was, why is there, like, Edward being an example of, like, more toxic relationships? Why do we romanticize that? Why is that sort of like, he's so bad, but he's good to me, or he's so bad, I can change him? I guess it's not one-to-one with Torgo, because it's not like he's overly nice to Jody and, like, shit to everyone else. He's just like, but there is an element of teen rom-coms and media for teen girls where it's like the bad boy, right? I think it's similar to After, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so, like, Dunkelman isn't even seen as, like, a bad boy in Tall Girl. He's just purely seen as a love interest. We don't get a sense of whether he's cool or not. We get a sense that Jody is cool now. I think it's literally that complex that he has within himself that's kind of, like, making him seem bad to us. So, yeah, I kind of wonder, like, why are we drawn to characters like this? Does that speak, like, loudly for, like, teenage girls? You know, I'm not really sure how to, like, really look at it, except I guess it's just more obvious in things like Twilight, where, like, Edward is obviously bad.
And I think it's probably prevalent in older teen films as well. I'm talking like the, like, Breakfast Club, that sort of era of movies, where I guess there's, like, questionable actions from the male protagonist to get the girl that are romanticized that probably we wouldn't romanticize any longer. Or we would question whether that's a healthy expression of love. Because, like, you know, in The Notebook, where Noah threatens to throw himself in a carousel?
Because there needs to be a line between you pursuing and you being, like, obsessed and, like, shamelessly, like, hounding someone for affection.
I heard you're listening, Kanye West. Is this for you?
I mean, I wasn't, like, referring to him.
He's on the mic.
Yes, it's very, he's a very relevant example.
Yeah, there's got to be a line between, like you said, pursuing someone and then acknowledging that they've said no and they do not want this anymore, and it kind of bordering on harassment, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kanye, stop it.
Not great. That's not great. I feel bad for his children. Poor kids. Come on.
Because they're old enough to be on the internet and see this shit as well.
Especially North. I worry.
Very.
I would be worried. It's not a representation of a healthy relationship at all.
But yes, Tall Girl. I think the other cool thing to come out of Tall Girl is the headlines for the reviews. I'm going to read you some. People love their puns.
Please.
Tall Girl 2 review. Please. Sequel falls short.
Ha ha.
Tall Girl 2 review. She stoops. Not as good. Tall Girl 2. She's back and she's taller than ever.
Okay, I'll give them that one.
Netflix teen romance sequel, Tall Girl 2, doesn't have much space to grow.
Ha ha. So I got two ha-has. I'll give it that one and it's a no.
There we go. Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad. I feel like just because I'm talking about something tall. Yeah, it's probably, like, room to be creative with that. Also, they're inviting those associations. And
I'm glad at least Tall Girl 2 was better, so I didn't force you to watch two shitty movies.
I mean, you know, I would have still watched them anyway.
At least one was a bit fun.
Yeah, at least one was, like, okay-ish. I wouldn't. Okay. Would you watch them again?
No.
Yes. Okay.
Same. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, Alice. How do you feel about your height?
I've always accepted it.
Expose your height for the listeners.
I feel so, like, vulnerable at the moment. What am I? I think I'm, like, 5'2", if we're going to do it, like, in feet.
I don't even know what feet I am in. I am 5'4", okay. I think. Yeah, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been okay with my height. I'm like, whatever, I don't care. Okay, it is what it is. Like, what am I going to do? It's, like, literally one thing I can't change about myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a few things. Arguable, right? now that I'm, like, rethinking that sentence I just said, I feel like it's
more like desperate times, desperate measures. Yeah.
But,
yeah. When there's a will,
there's
a way.
I've always just never cared, personally. I wonder if that's because I'm the, like, lower end rather than the higher end.
I don't know.
I'm not ready. Mm. No one's ever said anything bad. I mean, I feel like people used to identify me as, like, being short. I feel like that was something that was used to describe me before. But I never, like, took it to heart. I was always just like, that's a weird thing to take away from me, to be honest.
There's so like, much.
Yeah, like, why am I just that? And I also think it's because I might have, like, short energy. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Like, knowing me, does that make sense?
Short energy. I mean, the only way I'm, like, picturing this is, like, how there's, like, small dog energy. Do you relate to that?
But, like, do you get what I'm getting at?
What's short energy?
Okay, the way I'm going to...
okay.
The way I'm going to give it to you is... Okay, if we're going to use, like, a 2022, 2021 analogy, if you had never met me before, right? Mm-hmm. You've never seen me in person, and we were on a Zoom call, and you only saw, like, this frame that you are seeing right now, right? Do I seem tall short to you?
Short.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think...
I'm crying.
Yeah, so that's how I will describe it and leave it. I could talk a lot about my heart. But, like, the one thing that I've never, like, taken away from it is that, like, I feel bad about it, I guess.
That's good. I'm glad.
Like, would I love to be taller? Yeah, sure. Because sometimes, like, especially living in Australia, I feel it, especially when you go to, like, places like Cotton On and Glassons, where you're like, ah, this is what an average person in Australia is like, because I am not that.
Like the pants legs. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's very, like, clear to me that I'm not that because I don't possess those proportions, I suppose. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, that's the only time where I'm like, damn. But other than that, I'm like, this work, there's ways around it, I guess. I guess it's, like, not the most, like, convenient, but it's, like, it's fine.
Like, at concerts?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, concerts, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, just general, like, reaching for things and stuff. But, like, there are ways around it, that's what I'm saying. It's whatever.
Anyway.
I'm just saying.
I'm glad.
Suddenly turned into, like, I don't know, a personal reflection of my height.
Yeah. I feel like for me, I'm just, like, so dead on average. Like,
yeah,
it's just whatever. Like,
yeah, it's just like.
Like, occasionally I'm like, damn, wouldn't it be nice to be, like, 5 centimeters taller? But
yeah, like, exactly.
Whatever. It is what it is.
Has anyone identified you by, like, your height? Like, being like, oh, like, Frances is an average heighted girl.
I don't think people only identify if you're, like, short or tall. But I remember that when I was in primary, I was, like, the tallest in the grade. So I was really, really tall for, like, the first couple of years of primary. And then I, like, averaged out, I guess. Like, I just – and my parents were so disappointed. They're like, you used to be so tall and
– yeah.
Why can't you be tall? And I'm like, well, I don't know.
Like, why aren't you tall?
I'm taller than you, Mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I used to be identified as a tall girl, I think, back in primary. Like, in the back of the school photos or that sort of vibe. And then I was just like, well, now she's average.
What about, like, in high school?
I think I was pretty average in high school.
It's just interesting, I guess, because it's, like, especially, yeah, that because we live in Australia, I guess, like, the average height is slightly taller than if we were to go, like, if I go to Asia, like, specifically, especially in some countries, I'm actually, like, average to, like, tallish. Not, I wouldn't say tall, like, slightly taller than average, maybe, or about... Maybe let's just call it average, right?
Like, you go there and they're like, damn, she exudes tall energy.
I definitely don't. It's just, like, kind of, like, just normal energy.
Yeah. But I think also we went to a school with a lot of Asians.
Probably,
like, if I went to, like, a school in the Northern Beaches, I would feel short probably.
Yeah, I wonder if it's also just, like, a combination of, like, context or, like,
context
and environment as well. Yeah, you're right. Where everyone's kind of, like, similar height, so it's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't feel like that different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if I went to Manly High School,
like,
real short.
Yeah, you probably, like, identify more as, like, shorter.
Yeah.
Such a weird thing.
And you know what? There's no rules that say in a girl-guy relationship the girl has to be shorter let's get rid of that now.
Yeah, like it's none of that.
Old school thinking.
Yeah.
What you want. I'm going to get in trouble for saying that because I always tell Jackie, why can't you be tall?
Oh, why can't you be shorter?
Which is not the moral of the story. No, but I want to be taller.
Yeah, I guess it's on him then.
Yeah. So I'm the problem. I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I only project that insecurity onto one specific person. So it's fine.
Oh, yeah. It's fine, right?
Yeah. Just like not woman. Systemic. Yeah.
So it's fine. We're going to root for you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You will not see us playing basketball.
I mean, you'll not see us play basketball for a number of reasons. Height is like probably the least of our concerns, realistically.
Because you have to run.
Yes. Athletic. You have to run. You have to be coordinated. You have to be skilled. We possess none.
None. Zero.
We are purely sit at home, watch TV girls.
But, no, don't lie. Sometimes we learn TikTok dances. Don't you lie. Then you try to pretend. We just watched TV.
We learned one. Just one.
1.5.
I know it's 0.5 you're talking about.
It barely counts as a dance, but there's choreography involved.
Choreography, for sure.
Yeah.
Specifically, they're like the easy ones because I don't think I could handle anything more than that. I think you could. I know you have it in you. Like, you have that rhythm and the practiced. And also the, I don't know, just like some people like pick up like that. I'm not one of those people. Not. You are. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. But one day we might be on TikTok. Who knows?
Oh my God. Do you have to do it before the trend ends? Because I don't want to learn another dance. Like, what if? Okay, wait. I'll take that back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say I'm not going to learn another one. I'm just afraid that there won't be one that's as easy as this one.
No, surely. No, I think there will be.
The others like seem really hard because you know, like you were looking at some of them and you're like, oh, about this one. I was like, ooh. I couldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there will be. Okay. Or maybe we can film it and just like cover our faces somehow
with like the logo or something.
Yeah, with the logo.
Is that how would you even do that?
Oh, no, you can do that. It's okay. Pretty easy. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. If you have Premiere, it's doable.
A what?
Premiere Pro.
Okay. Wow, she sounds so professional.
Oh my God.
For a living.
It's like I do. What? But who knows? Maybe if we launch it. But I reckon we should film one just to see what we look like. Not to share, but just to see.
I think I would die inside.
Like an Eastwood car park or something.
Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
Or like at the skate park when we go there late at night and no one's there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Alice skates.
Not well.
But she skates.
I can go straight.
No, you can do turns. I've seen you do laughs.
Laughs. On a flat ground. Yeah. I'm too scared to do anything more than that. I feel like I should watch some more YouTube videos.
What if you got like knee pads and stuff in case you fall?
I still think it's still scary, like more so than like snowboarding, sorry, because I think with snowboarding, you've got the comfort of, yes, you have like the gear and stuff, but I think just the environment of snow, like if you fall on your bum, it might hurt a little bit, but it's not that bad. But if you fall on like concrete, like ouchies, yeah.
Ouchies sure. And a call to the physio.
Yeah. But the new year has rolled, so my physio, like, budget has gone back up again.
Thank God.
Yeah, just gotta make sure that the injury is only like so much. We're over. Because that's what happened last time. It went over.
Oh no.
And that's when it starts getting like expensive.
Well, there you have it. We've talked about Tall Girl and also some of our personal reflections.
And maybe potential career moves. We'll see. Yeah, maybe we should try it out and then see what happens. And if you never see it, you'll know why. It didn't look good.
Because it looked bad. So, yeah, what are we doing next week, Alice?
Marry me. I don't know why I said it like that, but like.
I do.
Because I think I was like going for the song, but I actually forgot how the song goes. So, the J-Lo song.
Oh, okay.
I don't know well enough to. actually sing it, so I don't know why.
She will next week.
I will next week after we, you know, watch the movie and listen to the soundtrack. But yeah, so the J-Lo movie with Owen Wilson, established, it is Owen Wilson, the one we've been harping on and on about this movie for so long, finally is out and we're going to watch it.
Yay! And we will share all the news with you. Share our thoughts.
Yes. Our thoughts, breakdown, impressions. Get ready.
Everything. Get ready. And Alice, to round it out, have you had any Genki this week?
Only grape. I only have grape.
And was it lovely and refreshing? I'm determined to have a Genki mention in every episode.
Obviously, I was so thirsty and I was like, you know what? I really want a Genki right now because I think it would quench my thirst and also kind of hit the sweet spot because I think sometimes at night I'm always like craving something sweet, but, you know, I feel like I shouldn't. So Genki is like the perfect thing, you know. Water, hydration, zero calories, zero sugar, but it's sweet and will satisfy me in that way. Love Genki. I always look out for Genki now at the shops.
Yay for Genki.
Yeah, love Genki.
Love Genki.
Yeah. What's your favorite flavor so far?
Yeah, so I can update you. I've tried grape, green apple, lychee, and peach. Mm. So I can confirm grape is like S tier, A plus, 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 amazing. It's like a toned down, like lighter version of Grape Fanta, which is already amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Next on the list would be lychee. So I don't know if you're familiar, you probably are, with the lychee jellies that you get in the Asian supermarkets.
Yes, very familiar.
It's like that flavor in a drink. Fizzy. Yum, yum, yum.
Yep.
Peach tastes like a fizzy version of 2%, that Korean peach water drink. Also very yum, yum, yum.
Yeah.
Green apple, not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you pay me, I'll say anything you want. But yeah, it's a bit of a overly artificial green apple flavor. Mm. It's a bit too strong and it's a bit overwhelming and the fragrance is overwhelming. So not my favorite yet, but I definitely think you should try at least a lychee one.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sort of tempted to buy like all the flavors and try them because there's still some that I haven't seen in store yet, like the calamansi one I think would be really, I'm very intrigued by. And I think I've had the cucumber one before. I don't think that was my favorite, but it was definitely interesting. And I kind of want to try like the plum one.
I have that in the fridge with the calamansi one. If you go to the Chinese grocery in Strathfield Plaza, can confirm they have all the flavors.
But when would I go? Or should I just buy online?
Maybe you should try putting code 2FRIENDSINAPOD to see if you get a discount.
Is that a real code?
I wish.
I was like, I'm not sure. Bye, Genki.
Bye, Genki. Genki, pay us.
Yes.
Is this how people get sponsors?
Is it?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I've never tried.
I have no idea.
Maybe we should do a TikTok.
Oh, we dance while we're holding Genki.
I just like suddenly got a few ideas. You know those ones where they like tell you about things that are new to the store? That's how I found out about Genki in the first place, through like a TikTok. Literally, they were like, I tried this new like sparkling water, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, like it kind of got in my head. And then when I saw it in store, I actually bought it. So TikTok works, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember I bought the Levi Ribcage jeans because someone on TikTok told me to.
Yeah, like yeah. It works. It's generally just like social media, right? Or you do a what I eat in a day.
Genki, Genki, Genki.
So I had breakfast and I had a bottle of can of Genki. And then I had lunch and I had another can of Genki. And as a snack, I had a can of Genki.
Oh my God, we're like social media moguls.
Yeah, that's why we're so popular on social media.
That's why all our friends like our posts out of pity.
I feel like we have the ideas, but we don't have the confidence to execute. But that's the hard part, I think. Yeah.
If only someone like Don Komen will buy us high heels so we can instantly gain confidence. Yeah.
Yeah. If that's all it took.
life would be a lot easier.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.